Have you ever entered into the middle of a conversation and were asked to respond or to react to what two people have been talking about, and you felt lost? You have no idea what was the conversation. Or you turned on the TV and you were watching a show and you had no idea who these characters were and where in the story you were at. As we look at the Bible, as you open your Bible, how many times do you run into the same problem? If you just open and start reading without understanding the rest of the story, you can be lost. You can miss the point and run into many difficulties. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to overcome or what to do in a situation like that concerning how to gain the big picture as you're doing your daily Bible reading or family devotions.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. This is Thoroughly Equipped, Drawing Water from the Wells of Salvation, a weekly study of the Bible with Pastor Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. During the next 30 minutes, we'll bring you solid, in-depth biblical teaching from Scripture and provide you training in how you can get the most from personal and family Bible study. We invite you to get a copy of today's teaching outline by logging on to tefaith.org. TEFaith is short for Thoroughly Equipped Faith. Again, that's tefaith.org. Then open your Bible and study along with Pastor Mike. Also, if you'd like to stay up to date on Thoroughly Equipped events, sign up for our periodic email newsletter, Wells of Salvation. You'll get articles, resource information, a note from Pastor Mike, information about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, including our address and service times, and news about any upcoming events. It's very informative. To get our email newsletter, just log on to tefaith.org. That's thoroughlyequippedfaith.org. Now here's Pastor Mike.
Welcome to Thoroughly Equipped. And in the studio today is my son, David. Hello, David.
Hey, Dad. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And we would like for you to turn in your Bibles, and we will be looking at the book of Jonah. We have been, for the past few programs, preparing for this time. And so as I'm talking right now, if you will turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah is one of the minor prophets. David, why is it that they're called minor prophets?
You tell me.
Many people say because they're buried so deeply in someone's Bible that you have to use a miner to dig them out. All right, that's enough. Thank you for that chuckle. Anyways, let's go to Jonah chapter 1. Let's hear the word of God. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me." We're going to stop right there instead of reading throughout the story, because I want to focus in on a couple points right there in verse 1. And as we open the book of Jonah and we run into characters, personages, there we find the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So we have the Lord speaking, revealing. We've been talking about Scripture, God's revelation of himself. Here we have the revelation of God, the word of the Lord. And also we have this fellow named Jonah ben Amittai, or Jonah son of Amittai. And so as we begin this particular story or account of in the life of Jonah, let's step back for a minute and let's stop and focus on some of the Bible study methods that we have been talking about. To some degree, we've talked about some of them, and I want to go into a little bit more detail there before we launch into this text. The first tool that I have mentioned before that we should take with us when you open your Bible is the use of questions, asking questions of a text as you're reading it. Many times it draws out, and we can learn much more from a given text by asking questions of it, rather than just passively just reading. The second tool, I guess you could call it, or principle that we've talked about before. And David, we talked a little bit about it in the last program, is the idea of context. And so I wanted to stop for a minute and just think about what are the different kinds of contexts that we should keep in mind when we open, for example, we're opening the book of Jonah. What are some of those contexts which will help us to get more out of the text?
Let me think about that for a second. Well, one would be the historical context. When is this taking place?
Okay.
The second would probably be, where does this fit in the rest of the Bible? Now, where does this fit in the theme of the book, the entire book? Gosh, I can't think of any others at the moment.
Well, there's also grammatical. Where is this verse in the chapter? Where is this chapter in the book? Right.
Okay.
Another might be, it's a little bit more difficult with Jonah because we only have one book of Jonah. But if you were reading in Exodus, you would ask, how does this book or this chapter or this verse relate to all of the writings of Moses? Okay, so the author. And so in some degree, it's almost like a concentric circle. You start with the text, you start with the paragraph, you start with the book, and you move your way out. That would be more of a grammatical context. You might also look at it from a sociological perspective. Who are the peoples, and culture would be another context. Hmm. So there's a lot of different ways of looking at a text or approaching a text. Now, the first one you mentioned, which I think is important and what we're going to focus on today, is that historical context. And in particular, tying in our first program from about a month or so ago, I want to focus in for just a moment and think about the involvement of the Holy Spirit in the book of Jonah. We noted in Paul's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, that all Scripture is inspired, God breathed. The Holy Spirit was involved in the writing, and as well as he's involved in our understanding of the text. And so as we think about the historical setting of this book, there's actually five that we need to some degree, keep in mind. The first is the actual events and the time that this particular account, this is a historic narrative. So we have to keep in mind when this occurred, these events occurred. Secondly, there was also Jonah sitting down and recounting and writing these events. Could have been a few days later. It could have been a few years later. The actual writing, the Holy Spirit guiding Jonah in what to write and what to not write. The third would be how it affected those that read it immediately, the original audience, and how they understood it. Next is how it's been understood throughout history by the people of God, and then finally, how we understand it as well. And so there, in a sense, there are approximately five different historic contexts in understanding the book of Jonah. But the first and foremost that we need to focus in on is the historic context. Now, who was this fellow Jonah? And to answer that question, the text doesn't give us much, but we have, fortunately, another account in another book of the Bible that gives us a little bit more information on this fellow, Jonah ben Amittai. And so, David, if you have your Bible, will you please go ahead and read for us 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 through 27.
Okay, let me open up to that. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath to the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which is of Gath-hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, and all he did, all his might, how he warred, and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belonged to Judah, for Israel, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah his son reigned in his stead.
Okay, so we are considering this particular period of time in Israel, the northern kingdom, and Jeroboam is the king. It's in the 750s BC. In context, in 722, Samaria, which is the capital of Israel, was captured by the Ninevites or by the Assyrians and destroyed, and everyone taken captive and scattered throughout the Assyrian Empire. And so the time that is described here is about 30 some years prior to that event, 30, 40 years prior. At this point in time, Assyria is in great trouble. It is in a great period of decline. There would be later on where Assyria would rise up one more time, but it has been in a series of declines and attacks from without. But at the same point in time, the relationship between Israel and Assyria has been one of hatred. For approximately 150 years, Assyria has been attacking Israel. And so as Assyria is now in trouble and their influence is not there, we see the expansion, as is recorded in this text, of Israel through the leadership of Jeroboam. But notice that the writer says that the reason for this blessing, for this, if you will, the grace of God, is that there was a man, a servant of the Lord named Jonah ben Amittai, who is a prophet, and it says that it was through his word. And so Jonah was a prophet, and I think in many ways a very popular prophet. He preached prosperity. He preached God's mercy upon Israel. And so he was probably looked upon as one of those rare prophets that everybody else liked in Israel, because he proclaimed good things. So as we open now his book, and as we consider what he's writing, what we're going to find throughout the book, and here's a key word to keep in mind as we work our way through the book of Jonah, is the word surprise. There will be one surprise after another surprise. And another element is also the idea of irony. It will be one ironic event after another. And so both of these elements, surprise and irony, are helpful for us to see those, because we see the historic context and understand what is happening with the original audience. All right, let's go ahead and again focus in on these names here in the book. And I find it fascinating, in particular, the name Jonah ben Amittai. Throughout the Bible, we run into name after name. For example, in the book of Genesis, we find a number of names mentioned. And what I find fascinating is many of those names are tied in with a meaning. Each of those names has a meaning to them. So, for example, the name Adam comes from Adama, which is the word for ground. Eve, Chava, means life. Adam named his wife Life after God had promised the seed of woman would crush the head of the serpent. Cain means acquired, and so on and so forth. And so also in the book of Jonah. The name Jonah ben Amittai, Jonah the son of Amittai, in many ways, in a capsule form, gives us the whole message of the book of Jonah.
Never thought about that.
For example, the word Jonah is the Hebrew word for dove. Now, when we normally think of a dove, we normally think of a cooing, pretty, I don't know. What do you think of when you think of a dove?
First, I think of Noah. I think the dove that flew with the olive branch.
Okay.
And second, I think of the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove.
So you think of it, when you think of a dove, you think very positively, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's another connotation of a dove in the minds of the original audience, and that is that a dove was a silly, senseless bird.
How so?
Well, let me give you an example. I'm glad you asked. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Hosea, and twice he refers to a Jonah or a dove. And the first is found in Hosea chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Ephraim, or Israel, the nation of Israel, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Wherever they go, I will spread my net on them. I will bring them down like birds of the air. I will chastise them according to what their congregation has heard. So there we see Ephraim is described as a silly Jonah, without sense. And again, in chapter 11, verse 11, they shall come trembling like a bird from Egypt, like a Jonah from the land of Assyria. And so that kind of understanding and thinking on the part of the original audience is Jonah, yes, the dove in the ark, but Jonah is not exactly a flattering name to have, but it has that connotation of silly, foolish acting. And at the same time, Ben-Amita means son of my faithfulness. In other words, if we take his name together, what it says is Jonah is a silly, foolish person, yet God is faithful. And if you stop and you think about the whole book of Jonah, that's exactly what we see. We see Jonah again and again acting contrary, absolutely the opposite of what he says he is and does. He is one who, in chapter 1, as we're going to see, tells everyone that I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. And yet everything up to and even after that, you find is the opposite of what it is to fear the Lord. And yet, at the same point in time, God is faithful, God is merciful to Jonah, in spite of his foolishness. And so, in many ways, as we even look at the very first word in the book of Jonah, the first verse, we run into this contrast, and in some ways, the actual message of the book. Secondly, notice that the Lord grants unto this prophet a revelation. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and that word was a word of commands. Actually, there's three commands in the text. Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for its ra'ah, or its wickedness, has come before me. Again, the original audience, when they heard this call to Jonah, would say, oh, this is normal. This is what happened with Elijah. This is what happened with Moses. This is what happened with Jacob. God appeared to Elijah and told him to get up and to go to Zarephath, using these exact same words. As a matter of fact, the very first verse, is, except for the name Jonah, Ben-Amita, it's exact same language. So listen to the words as recorded in its 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get up and go to Zarephath. Those are practically the same words that we have here in our text. And so the original audience, when they heard these words, would not be surprised. This is normal. This is what God does when he calls his prophet to get up and go.
Mm-hmm.
And also the idea of him going forth to cry is also part of what it means to be a prophet. Now, we're running out of time, so I can't launch into verse 3. We'll pick this up in verse 3 and what exactly the first of many surprises that we're going to find in the book. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to just bring this to our own focus of who we are and what we are trying to learn from this text. And the one area that I want to just stop and ask you to think about is just like the book. In the book of Jonah, we meet this individual named Jonah, and we will run into questions about his identity by the sailors. The question that I ask you is, who are you? What is your identity? Why are you here? Jonah was aware, very clearly aware of his identity and who he was, and he responded in some surprising ways, which we will look at. Who are you? Why has God placed you here? What is, if you will, your name? What is your identity? Remember that you are here for a purpose. God has placed you in this place, in this time, for his purposes. And so part of fulfilling those purposes is understanding who you are in Christ or who you are in Adam. And so take this time this week to think about and meditate on that particular question. Who am I?
And that is our study today in the Word of God here on Thoroughly Equipped with Pastor Mike Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. Along with his son David, Pastor Mike will be back in just a moment with a final thought for the week ahead. First, though, here's a reminder that you can download and print the lesson outline for each week starting on Wednesday by logging on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Follow along with the outline and keep it in a binder for future reference and study. Also, if you'd like to receive our periodic email newsletter that contains articles, upcoming events, and special offers, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, about upcoming events, or about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, log on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. And we thank the members and friends of Rehoboth Reformed Church for their sacrificial giving in order to make this program possible. If you would like to join them in providing this blessing for others by supporting this Bible teaching program, visit our website. Lastly, we invite you to join us for worship and even more study of God's Word every Sunday morning at Rehoboth Reformed Church, located at 501 South Idaho Street, Suite 120 in La Habra, California. For more information or directions, visit our website, tefaith.org, or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. Now, with a final thought for the week, here's Pastor Mike.
And so to close, I'm going to turn the tables on David, and I'm going to ask you, David, as I was asking the audience, so I'll ask you, who are you and what is your purpose?
My name is David. You have explained to me before that my name means beloved, that my middle name, Isaac, means laughter. And as we have talked about that our family heritage, our last name, Wojtek, comes from the words to comfort the army. So in one sense, we are called as Wojteks to be comforters in the army of the Lord. But to put it in more generic terms, I say my purpose is first and foremost to give glory unto God, my Maker and Redeemer.
And to enjoy Him forever.
Yeah. To show thankfulness to what He has done in my life.
Very good.
Thank you for joining us today here on Thoroughly Equipped, Drawing Water from the Wells of Salvation, a weekly verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the Bible with Pastor Michael Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, along with his son David. Next week, we'll continue looking at the Word of God. We hope you'll join us. In the meantime, you can learn more about Thoroughly Equipped by logging on to our website, tefaith.org. And if you'd like to write a note to Pastor Mike, you can email it to pastor@tefaith.org. That's pastor@tefaith.org. Remember, God is your salvation. You can trust Him and not be afraid. The Lord is your strength and your song.